the ceremony dating back to the pre-Christian era is the art of reviving the dead. Most dangerous of all the occult rituals, it requires involvement with evil spirits by the person performing the act. Success in the ceremony will result in the death of that person, for he or she must adhere to the ancient rule, a life or a life.
All right, Patreon feed is blown up, and I tell you once, and I tell you twice, I give you the bonus content, and I'm going to give you some bonus content today in the form of a show where we go a little deeper on Harry Potter. Well, not a little deeper. You've heard enough of Harry Potter, haven't you? We're going to talk a little bit about J.K. Rowling, just a touch, and then we're going to get into a film from 1972 called Necromancy. You may think all these things are unrelated, but they're not. And why we're going to talk about this? Well, one, I've seen this movie a few times, and I watched it again and realized there are many elements that the 1972 film Necromancy has in common with Harry Potter. All the themes of the occult. So I thought it's worth a shot to go through it. Maybe you've never seen this film. I will, of course, be spoiling the plot. It's an okay film. I wouldn't say it's like a must-see. But we're going to get into that. Now, a little bit of housekeeping first. If you are on the Patreon feed, ironically, you might not be hearing this message right now because something happened. I changed the artwork on the Patreon RSS feed. And on my, so like I track it on my personal iPhone, and it wasn't updating. I had the Harry Potter 3 episode didn't update, and then the one after that with Kanye and Joel Osteen and all that didn't update. Contacted Patreon, and we ran through some stuff. Nothing really seemed to work, but I did find it fixed, and I did write a post. You can go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher and read the post on how you can fix that. Not everybody has this issue, but a few people do. And you basically, as sad as I have to say, you have to delete the subscription from your iPhone and then reestablish that same connection. You do that through the RSS link. It's a personal private link that you get from Patreon when you sign up. You have to reestablish that show. I mean, it's very simple once you know what you're doing. It's more confusing sounding than it is, okay? If you have any questions, go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher and read through that post. Or shoot me an email, IlluminatiWatcher@gmail.com. I want you to get all the shows, okay? That's part of your bonus packages. You get the early access. The Patreon feed's blown up, by the way. I appreciate all you people signing up. I'm trying to figure out how to make the perks. You know, they want me to be this big businessman and figure out all these little perks and upsell you to the next tier. And I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to give you what you want. So we're going to get into that. I'm going to do that on a show in the future here. I plan on doing a show about Dr. Sleep. I haven't seen the movie yet. It's apparently already heading out of theaters. Apparently it's run its course in 2 weeks. The local theater that I frequent, they had all they're doing is showing it at like 10:30 at night. You know, and this movie is like 2.5 hours, which I already hate. I already hate that it's that long. Ironically, I'm listening to the audiobook on Audible, which, you know, like I always say, I recommend it to everybody. All my books are on there. I actually enjoy Audible a lot, and I've been listening to Dr. Sleep. I'm about halfway through. I'll probably read the whole damn book before I go to the movie, but I gotta say the story's losing steam, no pun intended. But it's fine. I'll get through it. And then we're going to do a whole show about Dr. Sleep. So that's on the horizon. And of course, your Patreon request from May 2019. My God, that was 6 months ago, and I still haven't answered all of them. I'm working it. We're going to get through it. And to be up front, the book club for The Dark Path, that's probably the last thing I'm going to work on. So just to give you an update. Now, let's quickly talk about the Harry Potter stuff. So J.K. Rowling and Harry Potter, like I said on the three-part series, I wasn't a fan from the beginning. In fact, back in 2013, when I was still a very young blogger, the I posted an article about these girls called the Exorcist Girls. They're from Arizona, and the BBC did a documentary about it, or a show, a series, and they basically believe that the UK in particular was a hotbed for witchcraft because of J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter books. They said, quote, "The spells and things that you're reading in the Harry Potter books, those aren't just something that are made up. Those are actual spells. Those are things that came from witchcraft books." And it sounds a little absurd to make this argument about a kid's tale, but it's true. Unfortunately, it's true. As proven in the three-part series, and J.K. Rowling released a book this year about the actual history of witchcraft and how it pertains to the Potter universe. Believe it. It is, in fact, witchcraft. And they are trying to enlighten the children through it. Now, make of that what you will. I personally... I'd be lying if I said I cared. You know... I think everyone's got to figure it out on their own, and I think most people aren't able to figure that out. And it's not up to me to vote on what entertainment you consume. I just try to wake people up to the ideas behind it so they can actually make a proper choice. Don't be manipulated. Now, J.K. Rowling, her maiden name was Joanne Rowling, but her publishers wanted young boys to read these books, so they told her to change her name from Joanne Rowling to J.K. Rowling. My God, is that the world we live in? Even young boys are sexist. Won't read a book by a female. Seems odd to me. But hey, that's what they told her. I mean, I don't... And, you know, if you want the truth, you always look to see what makes the money, right? Because, like, the bottom line is they're trying to get money. So, like, you could believe it or not that we live in a sexist environment. But when they're telling her to change her name to a questionable masculine author versus a female. Well, maybe, right? Unfortunately. Now, we're not here to get... I'm not going to get all social justice warrior on you today. But now, this J.K. Rowling, she wrote the best-selling book series in history. The first billionaire writer. She had a story of, being broke and stuff, and I think she was living in a homeless shelter for a period or something to that effect. And what was curious to me, because I'm going to tell you up front here, there wasn't a whole lot there. I didn't see a whole lot. Now, I didn't read her biography of her life. I just strolled through a couple articles here and there on her. But I didn't really see a lot. The one thing that I thought was going to lead me to some kind of occult revelation is that she actually writes crime under the fiction name of Robert Galbraith. Galbraith? And again, taking on a male pseudonym. But the books, you know, I looked through the themes of the books. Obviously, it's a crime fiction book, so you've got rape and violence. And she actually drew a lot of heat because the critics questioned if the children that followed her Harry Potter books would be drawn to these books as well. Now, she claims that she's actually a Christian, and in fact, worried that her beliefs would make the books predictable. And I think what she's talking about there is the apotheosis stuff, where Harry Potter becomes the messianic Jesus Christ type figure. Now, I find this curious, since there's so many occult elements in this story. But maybe, right? Because, look, I'm a Christian, and I could have written a book with all these occult themes in it that would have been a bestseller. I just chose not to. I actually tried writing a couple fiction tales. It's very difficult. I think to be a fictional writer, you've got to have nothing else going on, like no day job, no other side things going on in your life, because I think you're mentally, you've got to be in that world, which I find when I write my nonfiction books is like, it's very difficult to block out that much time to get your brain primed to be in that sort of zone. So anyway, I do believe that if she says she's a Christian, then I guess so, but like, she's clearly possessed by the devil. selling witchcraft to the kids. Oh, the children's. She's not for the children's at all. But overall, not a ton of worry there from Miss Rowling. I didn't really see much, to be honest. Did you see anything? Let me know. Drop that comment. Send a message. Like and subscribe. Social media. All the things. Do the things. Now let's get into necromancy. This is a film from 1972 starring Orson Welles. Who's that guy? Well, he's the guy who narrated the H.G. Wells book, War of the Worlds. Of no relation, by the way. Different spellings of the name. But he's the guy who narrated the one on the radio, which supposedly made everybody panic. There was an actual alien attack. But I've read that that was not, in fact, true. That was an exaggeration from the mainstream media. Fake news, as the Orange Man says. Fake news, and that was part of the big manipulation going down in entertainment and the masses, was that War of the Worlds reading. That, you know, when you hear about it, people say, oh yeah, people went crazy, they were jumping off the buildings and car accidents and freaking out, and the truth is it wasn't that way. Indeed. Now, if you read The Dark Path, which I'm sure you have, do you recall? We talked about Orson Welles in there. Here we go. For example, we know of the classic alien invasion story called War of the Worlds from 1897 as a science fiction novel written by H.G. Wells. Herbert Wells was a member of the Socialist Fabian Society, oftentimes referenced as part of the Illuminati. This tale was presented on a radio show October 30th, 1938. A date of importance as the pagan ritual holiday of Samhain. Coincidentally, it was conducted over the Columbia Broadcasting System, which is also represented by the Dove of Semiramis, more Illuminati occult worship symbolism of the ancient goddess archetype. The 1938 radio show that fooled its listeners into believing an alien invasion was imminent was voiced by Orson Welles, another somewhat connected individual. In Frank Brady's Citizen Wells, a biography of Orson Welles, we learn of Welles' upbringing and how he was exposed to occult practices as well as Satanism and witchcraft from his grandmother. Quote, as an adult, Orson claimed that his paternal grandmother, Mary Head Welles, had put a curse on the marriage of his parents. The ballroom on the top floor of the house she owned in Kenosha, Wisconsin, had been converted into a miniature golf course, and later, into a sort of darkened haunt where she practiced witchcraft. Orson recalled sneaking up to the huge room and seeing dead birds, strewn across the floor and a pentagram altar deeply stained with blood where she apparently performed her sorcery. A dwarfish, obese, and evil-smelling woman as he remembered her. Orson's father died in Chicago during the Christmas holidays of 1930, Orson claimed that his grandmother Mary performed satanic rites at the funeral of her son. My God. The Illuminate confirm of Orson Welles. I got more from The Dark Path. Here we go. The purpose of the radio program was to gauge the reaction of the masses to this alien threat. Contrary to popular belief, there was not an epidemic of panic induced from this show. Many research groups, such as the Princeton's Office of Radio Research and the New York Daily News, have verified that many of the claims of people being treated for shock, committing suicide out of fear, and flooding the streets to look for the space battle simply were not true. Adolf Hitler even tried to relay the myth by stating it was, quote, evidence of the decadence and corrupt condition of democracy. So where did the idea of a mass panic come from? The media. As always, the media tried to sensationalize something in order to gain ratings and try to reduce the impact of radio at the time, a new medium which was taking customers away from the traditional newspapers. The Wells and Wells collaboration created the right kind of story the newspapers needed in order to sell the public on the idea that the radio was not to be trusted. I argue that War of the Worlds was presented in a social engineering experiment to see what the public's reaction would look like to such an invasion. And we go further into all that. You know my spiel on the aliens. But they tricked you. They tricked everybody. They lied to us. Oh my God. Is the Orange Man right? Sometimes he is. Sometimes he is. Now later we'll briefly cover this, but Orson Welles, the actor there that's in Necromancy, he was a lifelong magician. Stage magician, of course. So he says. Let's talk about the movie, though. This movie, it's about a couple named Frank and Lori, and they move to Northern California because Frank gets a job at a toy company making rubber dildos. No, I'm just kidding. He works at a toy company. We don't know anything about it, though, okay? We do know the town is named Lilith. Now, if you recall, Lilith was in my Illuminati Bloodlines show. We talked about the Samael and Lilith with Adam and Eve. In Kabbalah, the hermaphroditic being formed by two serpents locked in sexy time union. Now, the other idea we can consider, because it would make sense in the tale here, Lilith, in the Kabbalistic occult ideas, is believed to have mothered thousands of demon children with Adam, the first man. That's what the Kabbalists say. So could it be that this town is nothing but a bunch of demons? Now, when Frank and Lori make it to Lilith, they have these supernatural experiences on their journey. They witness a death on the way into the town, which turns out is a blood sacrifice, of course. They are talking to spirits. But all this makes sense when we find out that Frank finds out that his job will be actually using magic. So he has to learn the incantations for magic from this grimoire book that they're given.
In spite of their unique qualities, and nevertheless, toys for children, toys for adults. Will you forgive me if I sometimes lose myself in my enthusiasm and believe perhaps a little too much in them, in my toys? I want you to be happy here, Lilith, both of you. You, Frank, you're talented and clever. I need your qualities to work for me. I need a young, creative mind to devise interest in what I have to sell. I need a magician.
I don't know anything about the occult.
Mr. Cato, when you said that you wanted Frank to be a magician, did you mean that you were one?
My factory creates magic. There's nothing relating to the occult that we don't produce. In my library, there are thousands of books, everything ever written on the subject. And all that those books contain, I know and live by. Do you believe in the black arts, Mrs. Brandon?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I'd like you to read this. The Grand Grimoire, the book of magical invocations. I think you might find it interesting.
If you don't mind, I'd rather not.
Because in the film, you hear Mr. Cato, which is, of course, Orson Welles. Mr. Cato runs Lilith. And he wants to make sure that this couple was not religious. Why does he say that? Well, it's because atheism leads to occultism, because atheism has a void of spirituality, and as human beings, we all have spirituality. Frank dismisses any sort of problems with any of this. What an idiot. Now, the real story is about Orson Welles' character, Mr. Cato, running this whole town, running the business of the toys, and he is trying to bring his dead son back to life. Necromancy. Of course, a theme from the Potterverse. throughout the film, Lori, she mentions how Mr. Cato thinks he's God, which we, in fact, we find out he's got all the powers of the occult except for this last one, the necromancy, which is what he needs to raise his son from the dead. Now, why are we talking about necromancy? Well, that's the title of the film. Harry Potter, of course, is in that story. Ray Kurzweil, the director of Google Engineering. Do you think that Google is creating the transhuman matrix to resurrect our souls in a digital hell? Yes. The answer is yes. And Ray Kurzweil is behind this. He's a strange duck, let me tell you. This guy wrote a bunch of books. He was a futurist and was predicting all this future technology, inspired stuff from like the Matrix. And he is obsessed with bringing his father back to life. His father's dead. And he's got like these weird alter egos, like Ramona Kurzweil is like this female when he dresses up in drag. It's very strange. Very strange guy. But yeah, this is the modern digital necromancy, is bringing our souls into a digital form and being immortal, becoming gods. Man becomes God. The alchemical process, removing all of the impurities of this material world and allowing man to become digital consciousness. We see it in 2001, A Space Odyssey. And I argue that that is in this film, Necromancy. I mean, between the lines a little bit, it's there, right? But when Lori keeps saying how Mr. Cato thinks he's a god and how he wants the power of necromancy, he's trying to do it through grimoires and magic spells, which is one avenue. But Ray Kurzweil, I argue, is doing a modern-day necromancy. Now, this whole time, Lori, she's skeeved out because she learns from another girl in the town. They have a little chat or whatever. And the occult weirdness is noticed. And Cato, Mr. Cato, is obsessed with bringing this kid back to life. She tells Lori. And then Lori notices there's no kids in the whole town. No kids. Except for one child that Lori keeps seeing on this swing in the park, which turns out to be a spirit. So they've already got these sort of occult superpowers going. Lori does, at least. Frank's an idiot. He doesn't know what's going on. He's just there for a good time. So Frank and Lori, they go to a little party or whatever, a little soiree. And it turns out it's ritualistic in the sense that they are exposing themselves to these tarot readings and such.
We summon the spirit of my son, Timothy. Speak to us, Timothy. Speak to us from the grave.
These are the cards of the magician, the tarots. I'd like you to shuffle them, please. Now, the figurations and images symbolically signify all wisdom, all truths, and all knowledge of God and the universe. They permit us to enter into a world of unusual perception, a mystical trip to a place in which things are never quite what they seem. I'm going to turn over these cards one by one, and you'll be able to see through the cards into another world, a window to look into a world of fantasy or reality. The question will be, are you now living a reality looking at a fantasy? Or are you now part of a fantasy looking at reality?
And we find out it's just a ploy to get them into the coven, a witch's coven in the town of Lilith. Lilith being the demon that seeded all the demons from Adam.
Hi. We were afraid you people weren't going to make it.
We were having a meeting at our club.
Yeah, the reason that the lights were out was because of a game that we were playing. We have a special reason for asking you both over this evening. We want you to become members of our religious group.
Your witch's coven, don't you mean?
We prefer to think of it as the true religion. It's the mother of all beliefs. Witchcraft is the only honest religion that makes things happen now, in this life. And that's why all of us here in Lilith believe and practice it.
All of you? Everyone?
Does that frighten you?
That's what you're trying to do, isn't it? Frighten me.
No.
Yes, frighten me. And that little boy, trying to make me believe that I'm the only one who can see him? Why? What have I done to you?
Nothing. We're very open about what we're doing. We have nothing to hide. If your little fantasies are interfering with reality, well, that's your problem. Maybe we're just opening the locked doors of your mind. And all those ideas that you felt very secure about regarding religion and life, maybe they're being challenged. I think you're terrified that we have the answers.
The Grand Grimoire, Book of Magical Invocations. Detailed instructions of summoning demons, the art of destroying one's enemies, seduction of women through spells, reviving the dead, and other useful benefits derived from the practice and study of witchcraft and other facets of the occult.
The only true God is the old God, the horned one, the perfect God. He reflects the honest image of man, the good that is in him, and the bad.
Because later on, they go to a second party. This time, likes to party down hard. They go hard in the paint on the party. And they invite, they have a second party. They invite Lori and Frank literally into the coven at this point. They had to do a little bit of the totalitarian tiptoe one step at a time, easing them into this. Lori's not about that life, though. Frank is stupid. He's out banging chicks at these parties. But Lori, like any good horror movie, the female is the smartest one of the bunch.
You're standing inside the magic circle. The magic circle. You're standing inside it. I've just completed it for our ceremony. The initiation of a new witch. She'll stand inside that unbroken circle with our high priest, Mr. Cato, and she'll take her sacred vows. The circle protects them from the evil forces which will have been summoned for the occasion.
I thought I might find Priscilla here.
I know you did. I heard your call from the front of the store.
I'm leaving Lilith.
You are?
I'm not becoming one of you witches. I told that to Mr. Cato.
Oh, did you?
And I don't believe that any of you have any kind of magical powers.
Well, then why are you so afraid of what it says in the Grand Grimoire about necromancy?
Because it said...
A life? For a life.
And she's scared. She knows what's up. She's like, "This is something's wrong here." But Frank's like, "No, everything is just right." So Lori, she finds out she's part of the necromancy ritual for the dead son. They dupe her into going to this other ceremony. I mean, I don't know. You know, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Fool me three times, you're pretty good at this. She gets fooled a third time, goes to another party. It's a ritual for the dead son. They dupe her into going to the ceremony, and she is buried alive to bring the son back to life because it's a blood sacrifice, life for a life. Now, and we're wrapping it up here. It's not a very intense movie, okay? There's not a lot of complex things going on. I just wanted to point out all the connections to the occult superpowers in Harry Potter to tell you Harry Potter is, in fact, Illuminate confirmed. Now, there's a twist at the end. A twist at the end. It's It's just like Super Mario Brothers 2. If you ever played that, I don't know how old you are. Super Mario Brothers 2, arguably the best Mario Brothers. Prove me wrong. Controversial opinion. Everyone goes right to number 3. I thought number 2 was the best. Lori wakes up. It was all a nightmare. Oh my god, it was more than that though. Okay? Because at the end of Mario Brothers 2, in case you haven't beat it, it's all a dream. I'm very sorry to report that. But she wakes up and finds out it's all a nightmare, but it's actually much more than that. It's a premonition. Because the twist is they are actually just getting ready to go to Lilith. She had, the whole thing was a dream. But it was a premonition, a warning that that is what was going to happen to them. She does, in fact, have the occult superpowers. Which all makes sense. Because if you go back to the beginning of the movie, you'll see these flashbacks to her birth. And they keep saying how she was born with a veil. And I didn't know what that meant. I had to look that up. There's a saying they used to do back in the day, back in the olden days. She was born with a veil. It means that the baby has superpowers of the occult. And it refers to the baby being born with an amniotic sac attached to its head still. And apparently that has some occult, you know, special power related to it, where they think the baby's going to have all these things. And she, in fact, does. She has these powers of premonition. But we don't know what truly happens here. Did Mr. Kato resurrect his son? Will he resurrect his son? Will Frank wake up? No, he won't. No, he won't. He's too busy hitting the Lilith orgy parties to care. But Lori, on the other hand, she can get out of this. And I argue if there was a sequel, that's how it would go down. Now, this film, Necromancy, was apparently redone in 1983 called The Witching with an alternate take on it. I haven't seen that yet. I just saw the Necromancy, and I thought it was pretty good. It's okay. It's good. Good movie. Now, I do want to I want to give you a little sneak preview of what shows I'm working on, okay? Because you're on the Patreon feed. You're on the inside. You're on the right team. You're on the winning team. Here's the stuff I've got going, because I got a lot more shows coming. I just got to find the time to record them. We're going to talk about Aaron Carter. There's a lot going on with Aaron Carter. The AMAs that we were on last night. We're going to talk about Ancient Aliens. They had an episode called Disclosure. Very important. XXXTentacion. We got a show. We're going to talk about him. He had a very interesting interview that my homie John sent me. Slid in them DMs. We're going to talk about psychedelics. That's going to be a good one. That's part of the Patreon. What up, Skinny Fresh? That's going to be part on the... I've got so much going on with the psychedelics. We're going to talk about the Overlord movie, Libra 420, Gold of the Gods, Alchemy. It's all related. I just got to find the way to put it together so it makes sense. We're going to do a review of In the Tall Grass, Stephen King's movie on Netflix. We're going to talk about The Shining and Dr. Sleep. There's so much more coming up, coming hard and fast. And then, of course, all those Patreon requests. I promise you, I'm doing that. So much has been happening recently that I haven't had the time to devote to them specifically to give you a valid and good response. Because you deserve a good response. A good one. The best response. And I do want to thank you for your support on Patreon. It means the world to me. And in fact, it's not just me. It means the world to everyone. Everyone, you're helping wake up the masses by supporting the show. Because there's a whole ton of people that listen to the free feed, and your support funds all of that. So I appreciate that. They appreciate that. The world appreciates you. Thank you again. And until next time, stay woke.